Hi everyone, today's parak of Rambam is the 7th chapter of Hilchos Erechim B'charamim. In this parak, Rambam will discuss the details of actually redeeming an item from Hekdesh property.
Halacha Aleph. Hekdesh was ein kodin osan, lo b'karka, lo b'avadim, sheri hokshu l'karkoz, lo b'shtaros, v'mneish ein gupan mamo, sh'nemar, v'nasan es ha-kesef, echad ha-kesef, v'echad char metalton l'shavan kesef, v'afilu suvin. Things which have been sanctified are not able to be redeemed with land, with servants, who have been juxtaposed with land and therefore play by the same properties, nor with contracts, which themselves aren't actually monetary value. They just represent value. And therefore, none of these are able to be used. The pasuk says, and he shall give over the money. That includes things that are actually money or things which are movable just as money is movable and have value themselves just as money does. And this even includes something which is of low quality, such as bran. Halacha Beis. Kol ha-podeh kedash of Moshe Chomesh. Whenever somebody redeems his own sanctified item, then he has to add on an additional 25%. Ve'echad ha-machdash atzmo, o ishto, o ha-yoresh, mosif ha-chomesh, kamosh b'arnu. This is true whether it's himself who's redeeming it, or his wife, or his inheritor. All of them have to add on an additional 25%, as the Rambam has already explained. Ve'af ha-chomesh luya elemen ha-metalton. The additional 25% itself also has to be only from movable property. And the additional 25%, which he is adding, that has full sanctity to it. It's just like the sanctified item. They have the same halachos. Halacha Gimel. Hapoda kadash of ein chomesh ma'akiv. If somebody redeems his sanctified item, this extra 25%, however, is not going to prevent it from becoming mundane. Rather, once the individual has paid the principal amount, then the item which was sanctified has now become mundane and is permitted to benefit from. However, on a rabbinic level, it's forbidden for him to benefit from it until he gives the extra 25%, because there's a concern that if he doesn't, then he might come to be negligent and never give it. However, with regards to the day of Shabbos, in order to enable maximum delight on the day of Shabbos, as is a mitzvah, then Chazal permitted him to eat the item if it was an edible food item, even though he hadn't yet given the extra 25%. And this is due in part to the fact that ultimately the treasurers of the Beis Hamikdash are going to come and claim the money from him. Halacha Dalet. Kachim is be'ach shenof b'hem mum v'niftu. If something had been sanctified as a carbon and then ended up becoming blemished and was redeemed, if the one who had sanctified it himself is the one who's redeeming it, then he has to add on an additional 25%, just as is true with regard to all other sanctified items. However, it's specifically the one who had sanctified it who redeems it. That's the one who has to add 25%, not the one who had been sanctified for his purposes, for him to be able to use it as a carbon. If he redeems it, then he's not going to have to add on the extra 25%. The Hekdesh Rishon Hu Shechai B'Tos Emes Chomesh. In addition, it's specifically the one who had sanctified the item in the first place that will be obligated to give an extra 25%. Aval Hekdesh Sheni Einu Mosif Alav Chomesh. However, one who extends from that first sanctity and applies it to another item, that will not demand an extra 25% if he wants to redeem that other item. Shneim Ares Pasuk says, Im Makdesh Yigalas Beiso V'Yasav Chamishes. Hamakdesh Lo Makdesh. The Pasuk says if one sanctifies his house and then he redeems it, then he has to add on an extra 25%. It's specific to the one who had actually sanctified it, not somebody who had grabbed onto that sanctity and extended it to another item. Halacha Hei, Lefikach, Im Chilo Behema Al Behema Shnia, Bein Bekotchei Bedek Habayis, Bein Bekotchei Mizbeach, Shnof Behem Mom, O Shehemer Bekotchei Mizbeach, Kishu Poda Es HaShnia Shechilo Leha, O Es Temura Al Atzmo, Ein Amos Al Chomesh. Therefore, if one desanctifies, he makes one animal mundane on another animal. For example, he had redeemed it using an animal. Whether we're dealing with something which was sanctified for the Bedek HaBayis, or something which was sanctified for the purpose of being a carbon, and it was being redeemed because it had a blemish, or whether we're dealing with somebody who had done an act of temura. That means to say, when one had an animal which was sanctified, and he tried to exchange that sanctity with an animal which was mundane, and ultimately all he's done is extend the sanctity from that first animal to the second animal. In that case, when he redeems this second one, the one that he had used to redeem the first one, or the one that he had extended to from the one that was already sanctified, in these circumstances, if he's redeeming that second animal, he does not add on 25%. Halacha Vav. v'hosef alav chomesh, v'chilo al behema acheres, v'niskaber ba'ashram acher, v'nitka ha-behema shechilo lehel ra'iya, k'mo shizbar b'mkomo. If somebody separates an animal that he's going to bring as a guilt offering, because he had owed a guilt offering, and now this one will be that, and then it ends up becoming blemished, he adds on 25% to it, and then desanctifies it, he redeems it, with another animal. And then he ends up receiving atonement, he brings a guilt offering, aside from this one. As for the first one, he now sent it off to go and graze, as will be explained in the proper case. In that case, it's not known, it's an uncertainty, whether he has to add on 25% or not. Since it's a burnt offering now, it's one body, but it has a different sanctity. Or, or do we say no? He doesn't add on 25%, because it comes from the strength of the initial sanctity, which already had the 25% added onto it, and therefore now it shouldn't need more. Something which was sanctified for the purpose not of the Mizbeach, but rather for the Bedek HaBayis, it's not able to have extended from it to another item sanctity, to the point where both of them have sanctity and one has violated this prohibition of doing Temura. Because the Torah only spoke of this negative prohibition of doing Temura, which again is when you try to exchange the sanctity and fail in doing so, all it does is create double sanctity. It only discussed that with regards to items which are going to be offered on this Mizbeach. Ketzad, that I'm now illustrating. If he had in front of him a mundane animal, an animal which was sanctified for the purpose of Bedek HaBayis, he said, this one should be exchanged for this one should be switched for this one, he hasn't said anything of consequence. However, if he says that this one should be instead of this one should be desanctified onto this one, in that case, his words have taken effect, because that wasn't Temura. Instead, what he's done is essentially redeemed one onto the other one, and therefore the first one is mundane, and the second one has been extended from the first one, and therefore it has sanctity. Regardless of whether we're talking about an animal which was sanctified for the purpose of Bedek HaBayis, or one that was sanctified for the purpose of being brought on this Beach, if it has a blemish, and therefore you're redeeming it, we don't redeem it ideally for anything less than its actual worth. However, if he transgressed and desanctified it on less than its worth, even something that was worth 100 coins on one tiny coin, that much value, nonetheless, it's been redeemed, it goes out and has become mundane, and it's permitted to benefit from. However, on a rabbinic level, it's obligatory to evaluate the item's actual worth and then make the individual pay up its full amount. If, for example, somebody had an animal which was sanctified for the purpose of being brought on the Mizbeach, and then it got a blemish, and therefore needs to be redeemed, it was worth 10 coins, and there was a mundane animal which was worth just 5 coins, and the individual said that this animal which is sanctified should be desanctified onto this mundane animal, then indeed it's been redeemed. However, this individual needs to give an additional 5 coins. Similarly, if the first animal was not for the purpose of being brought as a carbon, but rather was sanctified for the purposes of Bedek HaBayis, in that case, it still goes out to be mundane, and therefore is permitted to be sheared and to be worked with, and the second animal now enters into its place on a Torah level. However, on a rabbinic level again, he must investigate, we need to do an evaluation, whether the one that he had desanctified it onto is of the same worth, or he has to go and add on more money. Halacha Yud. Shama osa shlosha, v'amru shazu b'dameha. Afilu ba'al achar kein mea, v'amru shel kodesh ha'yisa yafa. Eino chozer. Ho'a v'chakir satam midrayam, lo hechmiru ba. if three people had evaluated and said that, yes, this was the proper amount of money, then even if afterwards 100 people come and say that, no, the one that was sanctified was worth more than the one that was mundane initially, nonetheless, it does not retract, and he doesn't have to add any more, since this is something which is only rabbinic in nature. So, Chazal, we're not going to be so stringent about it. If, however, only two people had initially evaluated, and then three people come along and say that, no, the base of Mikdash treasury had lost out in some fashion, that he had overcharged them, he had taken advantage of them, then in that case, it goes back and has to be reevaluated. Halacha Yud Aleph. Ein poten es a hektish achzara, ela achkiras damim kmosh miyarnu. One is not able to redeem a sanctified item just using estimation. Rather, he needs to do a proper evaluation of its worth, as the Rambam has already explained. Ve'im pada yad hektish alo yona. And if he redeems it, then the advantage goes to the base of Mikdash treasury, as the Rambam is about to explain now. Ketzad, he'll illustrate. Parazu tachas parazu shal hektish, talazu tachas talazu shal hektish, hekteshu padoi v'yad hektish alo yona. If somebody said, this cow should be in place of this sanctified cow, this garment should be in place of this sanctified garment, in that case, it has indeed been redeemed, and the advantage goes to the base of Mikdash treasury. If the second item that he was exchanging into is worth more than the other one, even very much, then the basic major treasurers go ahead and take it and don't say anything more. However, if it isn't worth more, in that case, then he pays its value, as the Rambam has already explained, and adds an additional 25%. If, however, the individual had stipulated its amount, he said, this garment, which is worth 10 slum, should be in place of this garment of the base mikdashes, or the same with regard to a cow. In that circumstance, afilo heiser shel hektish shava chamesh, v'shelo eser, harizem mosef chomesh, v'nosin shtei slum, u'machtza, shari b'dam k'tuvim pata. In that circumstance, even if the one of the base mikdash was worth just 5, and his was worth 10, in that case, he still has to add on an additional 25% to his 10, and therefore gives an additional 2.5, because he had stipulated with regards to a set amount of money. That's how he would redeem it. Ushnia ina tuuna chomesh kmoshivarna. With regards to the second animal, if he wishes to redeem that one doesn't need the 25%, as the Rambam has already explained. Halacha Yud Beis. Hapodem yad hektish. Moshach b'mona, v'lo hispik li'tina dom ach amar b'asayim, no sein masayim. Shnei mar v'nosan as hakesef v'kam lo, v'nisin as hakesef hushalo. If somebody's redeeming something from the base of Mikdash treasury, and he drew the item into his domain when it was worth 100, but he didn't have an opportunity to give the money over until it has gone up in price and is now worth 200, in that case, he must give 200, as the pasuk says, and he will give the money to the base of Mikdash treasury, and then the item will become his, will enter his domain. It's specifically at the time of giving the money, that's when it becomes his. Meshachu b'masayim, lo hispik li'tein hasadam ach amei b'mana, nosi masayim. If, however, he had drawn it into his domain when it was worth 200, and he didn't have the opportunity to give the money until it's gone down in price to only 100, he still nonetheless has to give 200, because this is what the halacha would be with regards to a regular interpersonal transaction, and there's no way we would allow the base of Mikdash treasury to be any weaker than the ability of a regular person involved in an interpersonal interaction. And just as is true with regard to a regular interpersonal relation, then when you draw the item into your domain, you've already acquired it and are obligated to pay the money, and therefore, from the time of playing for his possession, when it was worth 200, he's owing, therefore, 200. Halacha Yud Gimel. Padav Masayim, Benosam Adamim, Velo Hispik Lamashko, Ach Amma B'mana, Kfar Kona B'nesinas Kesef, U'moshech Eshalo, Zaha Hektish B'masayim. If he had redeemed it for 200, and he gave the money, but he didn't have the opportunity to pull into his domain until it had gone down to just 100. In that case, it was already acquired with the giving of the money, and he had drawn it into his domain, and Beis HaMikdash has gained, therefore, it keeps the 200. Padahu b'mana, b'nasan adamim, v'lo hispik l'mashko aj amma b'masayim, masha padah podoi, v'eino nosing el ha'mana shekfar nasa. If he had redeemed it for 100, and he had given the money, and he did not have the opportunity to pull into his domain until it had gone up to 200, that which he redeemed is redeemed, and he only has to give the 100 that he had already given. In this case, we don't say that we don't want the strength of a regular person to be stronger than the strength of the base Mikdash treasury. Why? Shapilo hedjot eno yachal lachzerbo ad shekabo mishapara kamo shispar b'mkomo vein hegzer shvara lekabo mishapara. Because even a regular person wouldn't be able to retract at this stage of the transaction unless, by doing so, he would accept upon himself a terrible curse called a mishapara, where the basin warns him that the same God who had punished so many others before you, you should know, he'll punish you as well. And the basin of the treasury can't receive a mishapara like that. And therefore, since the individual would have had to accept this upon himself, the Beis HaMikdash would also have to accept it upon himself, and therefore we don't allow them, since it's not able to receive that mishapara, to retract in this case. Halach Yudalad. Hamakdash kol nechasav, v'asa alav ksubas isha, o shedrei bali chobos, ein isha yichol libos ksubasa min ha-hekdash, lo ba'chob es chobah. If somebody had sanctified his possessions, and he had obligations, he owed money to the ksuba of his wife, or to other debts that he had taken, his wife is not able to go and collect her ksuba from the Beis HaMikdash treasury, nor are those other creditors able to do so. Shehekdesh mafkia shibud shekata, because his act of sanctification is able to undermine the lien that was there prior. Aval kishayimkor hekdesh hakarka shelo v'teite asad l'chulin yish t'vachov l'isha libos min apoda shari shibuda omed hakarka zu. However, when the Beis HaMikdash sells that land, and now it's become mundane, then the creditor or the wife are able to go ahead and collect it from the one who had redeemed it, because their lien still is there on this land. Halacha tezvav. Halamazadoma, what is this comparable to? The shnei lekuchos shekasva l'rishon din v'dvarim ein liyimcha u'machar l'sheni, shi torefes min ha'sheni. It's like a case where somebody had bought this property from the husband or the one in debt, and that first buyer had an interaction with the wife or with this creditor, and they told him, look, you know what, we have no relationship with you, it's okay. And then that buyer went ahead and sold it to another buyer, at which point the wife or the creditor is still able to go and tear that land away from this second buyer, because they never said anything about the land. They were just saying they have no claims against the one who had bought it first from the husband, the one in debt. Halacha tes zayin. V'ketet poden karka zeh. Now how can you redeem this land? First, we make the woman or the creditor swear first that they truly owe this money, just as is true whenever somebody wishes to take away possessions from somebody else when they had been under lien. And then afterwards, we proclaim to everyone that this land is going to be sold for 60 days, in the morning and the evening, as the Rambam has already explained. And then we evaluate how much a person would be willing to pay for this field in order to pay the woman that which she is owed from her ksuba, or the one who is the creditor, that which she was owed on his debt. Then after it's been redeemed, and the buyer has bought it, even if it was just for one coin, in order so that nobody think that the item was able to leave the possession of Hekdesh without being redeemed. So then afterwards, the one who had redeemed it goes and gives the woman or the creditor the land as was owed to them. Even if the debt was worth 100 and the land was worth 90, nonetheless, this is going to be what happens because it was on this condition the one who wishes to redeem it redeemed it. If, however, the debt was twice the amount of the value of the field, for example, the field was worth 100, and the debt that was there, either to the woman or to the creditor, was worth 200, double the 100 of the field, in that case, you don't redeem it on the condition to go and use it to pay up the debt or the ksuba. Rather, we redeem it without any specification, because if they were to stipulate that the intention was to give it, then it wouldn't be redeemed at all. Halach Yud Zayin. Hamakdish kol nechasa, v'achar kach gerishes ishto, v'gavsa ksubasa min apoda min ahekdesh, eno gova ash yadirena hana. If somebody sanctified all of his possessions, and then afterwards divorced his wife, then she goes and collects her ksuba from the one who redeemed it from Hekdesh, as was just explained, then she's only able to collect it once he has first made her take a vow, to the point where she will not be able to benefit from him. Because we're concerned that maybe the husband and wife had some sort of plot with regards to how they wanted to take advantage of the Beis Hamikdash treasury. And we don't say that if he really wanted to get rid of this consecration, then he could have just gone to a Torah scholar and told him that he made a mistake when he had sanctified it, at which point then it would go back to him. No, we are still nonetheless concerned that maybe there's some sort of plot going on here, and therefore we insist that the man take a vow that the woman is not able to benefit from him, in order so that we ensure that there's no sort of trickery going on. Halach Yudches. V'chein inemon lomar achar shehekdesh mona leploni chov alai o kli sash oploni hu. Similarly, after somebody has sanctified something, he's not believed to claim that, oh, I actually have a debt of $100 to this individual, or this vessel of mine actually belongs to somebody else. Shem yasu kunanja al hekdesh, because we're concerned that maybe they have some sort of plot, some trickery going on, and they're trying to take advantage of the Beis Hamikdash treasury. And even if there is a document in the hand of the one who is supposedly the creditor, we don't allow him to collect based off of the testimony of this individual himself, this admittance. Rather, we follow the regular procedures as is done by any other creditor, as the Rambam has explained. When is that true? When we're dealing with a healthy person. If, however, somebody was sick, they were dying, and they sanctified all their possessions and said at the time of the sanctification that I owe $100 to this individual, in that case, he's believed. Because we don't suspect that a person is going to use trickery against the Beis Hamikdash treasury in the time of his death, and at the same time sin to others, when he's about to die. Fikach im amart nu osa lo, no tel blo shvo. Therefore, he said, give it to him, so then that individual would take it even without having to swear. Vim lo amart nu, enosnin el im kain, hayabiyado shtar mekuyam. But if the one who was bequeathing this item did not say, give it to him, in that case, it's not given unless he has in his hands a document which has been ratified saying that he is owed it. Hariz a no tel men hexish from neyat tzava. In that case, he is able to take it from the Beis Hamikdash treasury because of the deathbed statement. If after he had sanctified, he had said, give it to this individual, in that case, we don't believe him. Rather, he's just like anybody else who's a creditor who wishes to collect. If he ratifies his document, he's able to swear and collect from the one who had redeemed it and not from the Beis Hamikdash treasury itself. If a rumor goes out that a particular individual had given up ownership on all of his possessions, or he had sanctified them in one fashion or another, in that case, we don't pay any heed to that particular rumor until we have clear proof that the individual had done so. Have a wonderful day.